that's reached, and about 1,500 plus we have actually engaged. That means that not only 1,500 people have seen our live stream or have chimed in, but they have actually clicked the like button. So that is tremendous what God is doing there through modern technology. So if you would grab your Bibles, Psalms chapter number 51, verse number 6, and then 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 24. That's where we're going to leap from on this evening. Psalms 51, verse number 6, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Tonight, we're going to get engaged one with another, so I want you to be actively participants participating on tonight. So I want everybody here tonight to really get ready to be a part of what God will say to the life of his people on this evening. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, then we're going to jump over to Psalms 51. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, if you would stand for the reading of God's word on tonight. Verse number 24. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 24, it reads, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets a prize? Everybody runs, but only one get a prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. But do it to get a crown that will not last, or do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave." Don't you know that your body is a slave to your soul? Hallelujah. When you learn how to master your body by tempering your soul, then we can live this life in Christ a whole lot much better. "No, I strike a blow to my body and make it a slave, or it is my slave, so that after I may preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Paul says that he makes his body a slave so that he can preach to others, that he won't be disqualified from this prize. A couple things I want to tell you about this text before you find your seat is, there's three things in this text that preps us for the purging. Somebody shout, "Purge me." Three things. The first thing is intentionality. You got to be intentional in what you do. You also got to be focused. Got to have focus. And thirdly, you got to train. You got to train. You got to train. There has to be intentionality. There has to be focus. And there have to be training. I'm going to go ahead and pray there. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this time that we have. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Psalms 51, verse number 6, reads to us, "Yet you desire faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." Cleanse me, God. That is God's desire, is that we all would be cleansed and that we would be washed whiter than snow. Watch this. It is not what you see that trips you up, but it's what you believe. I'm going to say that again. It is not what you see that trips you up, but it's what you believe. The things you see are only temporary. The things that you see are only last for a moment. But it's not what you see that trips you up. It's what you believe that trips you up. Because you, if you believe that God is able to take that light affliction and turn it around, then that thing will be turned around. But if you think what you see has more power than the God you serve, then that thing will have more power and you get tripped up in it. So you got to believe God. Tell your neighbor, believe God. Yeah, you got to believe God. You got to believe God, and you got to believe God at his word, because his word is truth. His word endures forever and ever. So don't allow what you see to impact what you believe. Watch this. Intentionality. There has to be some intentionality. Intentionality, or to be intentional, is the fact of being deliberate or purposeful. That you have to be deliberate and you have to have purpose in all that you do. You have to pay close attention to what you're believing. Wrong beliefs will weigh you down. They will weigh your heart down. They will tangle your feet and distract your attention. And they will deplete your energy. So if you don't believe right, then you won't do right. It is the way you believe that dictates the way you live your life. You know, if you ever talk to an atheist, this is the main argument of someone who does not believe in God. They say, well, if you're a Christian and you believe that there is a heaven and a hell, then why won't you live like there's a heaven or a hell? Do you really believe that? That is their main foundation of their argument, is that against Christians, is that if you believe that this is true, what you believe, then why aren't you living that way? Why aren't you living like eternity, or heaven is for eternity and hell is for eternity? So we got to be intentional in the way we live, because if not, then we'll get all tangled up in our hearts. We'll get distracted and our attention will be elsewhere and we'll be depleted of all of our energy. So we got to be intentional in what we do. We must identify the weights in our lives. We got to identify the weights in our lives. And we have to resolve to do whatever it takes to lay them aside. That we have to be intentional and identify the weights in our life. Question tonight to you is, what's weighing you down? What's in your heart that is causing your feet to stumble or to be entangled or to your heart to be ensnared? What's the weight that you're carrying? Is it unforgiveness? Is it bitterness? Is it hatred? Is it discord? What's the thing in your heart that is weighing you down? Hebrews chapter number 12 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. God has marked the race out for us. The course has been set. God has marked out a race, and we have to run that race. But there are things that are holding us down and holding us back. Watch. Hear this. Watch what you hear. It will affect what you see. I'm going to say that again. You got to watch what you allow to come into your hearing, because if you don't watch what you hear, eventually it will have an impact or would affect what you see in life. If you allow doubt and disbelief to come into your hearing, then it will have an effect on what you see in regards to the manifestations of what God wants to do in your life. You got to watch what you hear. Romans tells us, it says, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by what? Hearing by what? Yeah, your faith come by you hearing the word of God and hearing the word of God. And that's what the devil's biggest plot is in our lives, is he try to prevent us from hearing the word. That's why you find yourself sometimes in service, you get a little sleepy, the devil trying to clog up your ears. You'll be at home reading your Bible, and the first thing that happens is that sleep monster come on you. That spirit of sleeping and slumber will hit you. Why? Because the enemy is trying to prevent you from hearing the word, because the enemy knows that if you hear the word, then your faith will grow. And the more word you hear, the stronger your faith will grow in God. The more you know of God and the more you believe of God, the more that you can experience of God. How can you experience a manifestation of something that you know nothing of? How can you see healing when you don't know the healer? How can you see increase in your life and you don't know the God who can bring increase? God is his word. We talked about it the other day, is that in John, Minister Crump said it. It said you got to go back to the word, because God is his word. John chapter 1, it tells us God is the word. In the beginning was the word. So God is his word. So if you don't know the word, you don't know God. So how can you know what God do if you don't know what God says about what he can do? God, I feel you, Holy Ghost. And the devil wants to clog up our ears and to block up our, he wants to give us spiritual blockage. He wants to give us spiritual blockage. He wants to clog up the veins and the arteries of our faith. He wants to clog up with cholesterol in our spiritual arteries. Why? So that our hearts cannot beat the word of God, that our hearts cannot believe the word of God. He blocks us up so that the word won't get through and flow through us. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the more we hear, the more we see God. Moses said it himself. He said, God, show me your glory. God, I want to see more of you. I want to see more of your manifestation. God, I want more. Somebody shout, I want more. Yeah, and the devil don't want you to have more, so he comes to block your ears, to keep you from believing God even the greater. Watch this. What you believe is what you will bear. Let me jump on that for a second, if you would. What you believe is what you bear. That if you believe wrong, you're going to bear the wrongness of your believing. If you believe God wrong, then you're going to have to believe or bear that wrong believing in your life. If you don't believe God to be a healer, then you're going to bear sickness in your body. If you don't believe that God is a deliverer, then you're going to be stuck in bondage. And you're going to have to bear the bondage of your wrong believing. What you believe is what you bear. So you got to fix your believing. You got to fix your believing. Wrong beliefs weigh your heart down and entangle your feet. They will distract your attention and deplete your energy. They will take you out of your race. Wrong believing will take you out the race. There have been so many people that have been taken out of the race of life. Why? Because of their wrong believing. Right now, there's such a great falling away of the believers. Why? Because of their wrong believing. And they've been taking out the race. You know, back in high school, I used to run long distance. I ran track. And in middle school, I ran sprints and all of that. But there was one thing that will cause the race to end very abruptly. And that's you being disqualified for crossing the line. Hallelujah. That I don't care how fast you are. I don't care how quick you get out the blocks. If you cross the line, you disqualified. Matter of fact, if you're running long distance and you cross the line, they'll go ahead and let you finish the race, but at the end of it all, it won't count. You get all the way to the finish line and you can cross and break the ticker tape yourself, but because you were disqualified, it didn't even matter. And you run your hardest. And you'll get to the end of the line and you'll begin, watch this. Oh, God, I hear you. Good now. You'll begin to celebrate like you won that thing. You'll parade around the stadium only to be disqualified. Why? Because of your wrong believing. Your wrong believing will cause you to be depleted of your energy. You'll run a race and exert all of your energy running that race only at the end to realize that you have been taken out of the race. Somebody shout, purge me. Yeah, I got to purge me, Lord. I need to be purged. So that's why we got to stay focused. Focus is the clear and sharply defined condition of an image. Got to stay focused on this race. You got to be intentional. Number one, got to be intentional. You got to run your race with intentionality. That's number one. You got to be intentional. You got to make sure you stay inside of the lines. Now watch this. God doesn't want us to box us in or to close us in or to hold us in captivity, but God wants to make sure that there are some safe, healthy boundaries that we don't cross. Hallelujah. We say, oh, Lord, God, you're restricting us. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, if you have a dog, right, an animal, a pet, a dog, and you let that dog out the house, the potential of that dog running away is great. The potential of that dog being run over by a car, a truck, is very great. So to protect that animal, you put some safeguards around. You put him in the yard. Now that dog has the freedom to run his heart merry. He can run from end to end. And that dog doesn't realize, or he doesn't even perceive, that the gate is a boundary for him or the gate is a protection mechanism. He just runs in the liberty of the yard. The dog never complained about the fact that he can't go beyond the gate. His heart content is to run and to roam within the boundaries that have been set before him. Good God Almighty. And that dog will have as much fun. Matter of fact, he'll see other dogs walking in front of him outside the gate. He'll just bark and, hello, hey. But you never hear him complain about going beyond the gate. So God puts these boundaries out for us. Why? As safety mechanisms. So we got to be intentional on staying inside of the lines. That's the same thing that happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. God gave them safe boundaries. You can eat of everything you want to eat of, except for this one thing. You can have whatever your heart's desire. I give everything to you except for this one thing. Somebody shout this one thing. And we got to be intentional staying away from that one thing. Because it's not the masses that'll get you in trouble. It's the one thing. It is not the multitudes of sin that'll get you into trouble. It's the one sin. Y'all quiet. It's not a bunch of stuff that'll get you caught up. It's the one thing. You know, I've never played Russian roulette before, but in Russian roulette, you put one bullet in the chamber of six. So you have five opportunities to escape. But it's the one thing that'll get you caught up. And that's how we live our lives. We live our lives like Russian roulette. And God comes to put up safe boundaries around us so that we'll have more than enough opportunities to live a full and blessed life. So we've got to be intentional to stay away from that one thing. Somebody shout the one thing. So there's intentionality. Then we've got to stay focused. The devil comes, as we know, according to the Gospel of John, he comes to steal, kill, and what? Say it loud. Kill, steal, and? Yeah, but let's break it to more layman terms. He come to distract you, detain you, and detour you. Because truth of the matter is, the devil, we still got breath in our body. So he hadn't killed you physically. But we have been distracted. And because of the distraction, now he has killed the opportunities that God has laid before us because we have been distracted. We've been focused on this stuff that we missed the opportunity that God has put. Y'all didn't catch that. So he killed opportunities in our lives because we have been distracted with other stuff. We've been watching other people run their race. We've been judging others as they run their race, missing the fact that we have to run our own race. I remember growing up, my father was our coach in track. And this one thing my dad had always taught us in running track was that I don't care how far ahead you are, never look back. I don't care how well you're running your race, don't ever look back. Always stay focused on the race ahead. Don't worry about how they're running their race. God. Don't worry about who's close to you and how close they are. How far they are from you. Just run your race. But one thing you never do is look back. I remember one summer we were at States, and my brother, he was a long, lanky guy, and he wasn't really fast, but his legs made up the ground. And he was running the 440, and as he come around the 440 relay, he was way ahead of the bunch. And he had the cardinal sin come upon him. He looked back. Now, here he was in first place in the home stretch, about to bring the state championship title home, and he looked back. And one by one, they what we call in our track terminology, they sucked him up. One by one, they... Second place, third place, fourth place, fifth place. When if he would have stayed focused, he goes from being to the front to being in the back. Oh, my God. There's a reason why they put that little caption, that disclaimer in the mirror, that those objects are much closer than they appear. Now, when you look at the dynamics and the mechanics and the ingenuity of automobiles, they put a big old windshield in the front of the car and a small mirror to view the back of the car. Yeah, if you look at the mechanics and the engineering of it, that the big windshield in front is so that you can view the bright future ahead, the little mirror that shows you the back that shows you the minute past. Y'all quiet. They put a bigger windshield up front so you have a clearer vision of what's to come. Put a small mirror so that you can see what you have passed up. And we get so often distracted by the enemy because we end up looking in the small mirror. And our focus is on the small thing when God is doing a big thing right before us. We get so distracted on the little things. We major in the minor things. That the small things that we encounter in life, we give more attention to that. We pay more and give more details to the small things instead of the big things that God is doing in our lives. Got to stay focused. Tell your neighbor, stay focused. Got to stay focused. Got to stay focused. Got to run our race with intentionality, and we got to stay focused on the pathway and the chart of the course that God has laid before us. Got to stay focused. Romans chapter number 14. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. It says it's better for you not to do it. Why? Because you don't want to cause nobody else to stumble. Amen. Now, this text does not give us liberty to do whatever we want to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. It just says that it's better for you not to do it. Why? Because it'll cause somebody else to stumble. So whatever you believe about these things, whatever you believe about these things, I'm going to say it again, whatever you believe about these things, keep them between yourself and God. Oh, God, if I could talk to the church right there. What you believe about it, keep it between you and God. We try to impose our convictions on others. We want to throw other people under the bus because we riding the bus. Because we have overcome. We cause them to be undercomers because we put them under the weight and the oppression of the condemnation of what we've been delivered from. Hallelujah. Keep between you and God. Hallelujah. You are not the Holy Ghost patrolman. You are not to police other folks. God going to work it out in him. He going to work it out. Watch this. He worked it out in you. And if he could do it in you, he could do it to them. Keep it, whatever you believe about those things, keep it between you and God. Keep it. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. Don't condemn yourself by what you believe, because there is no condemnation in that. If you believe it to be right, guess what? It's going to be right. Even the sin you in, if you believe the sin you in is right, it's going to be right to you. Y'all quiet right there. The truth of the matter is, while we, before we came into the knowledge of Christ, everything we thought we were doing was right. That's why we kept on doing it. And then when we got an inclination that it was wrong, all of a sudden this thing started pressing in on. I don't know about you, but before I came to Christ, when I started kind of getting close to Jesus, the things I was doing, it didn't feel the same no more. Y'all quiet. The places I went, I just got that little, you know, it just didn't feel right. People that I hung around, it didn't feel right. It's like an old suit that's been stuck in the closet for a long period of time. It's just kind of itchy, you know, just don't feel right. Are you all right? It just don't feel right. That's because what I was believing about what I did, I no longer believe was right. My perspective on those things started changing. It just didn't fit right. Didn't feel right. People that I got around just didn't feel right. They didn't fit right no more. Things that they would say just, it bothered me. Hallelujah. But blessed is he. Or blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. Verse 23, but whoever has doubt is condemned if they eat. because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is what? Hallelujah. So watch this. God says if you're not in faith, whatever don't come from faith is sin. Hallelujah. Now I didn't define sin to you before. Sin is not something you do. That is a byproduct of who you are. So if it don't come from faith, then it is sin. So in other words, if you're something other than what God has created you to be, anything you do out of that is sin. Anything you do outside of God's creation of who he created you to be is sin. He created us to be perfect in his likeness and his image. So anything that we do outside of that perfection is sin unto God. Hallelujah. And it's not our activity. It's our state of being. So he says, whatever comes that does not come out of faith is sin. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We have to understand what the Lord's will is. It is his will that we walk in perfection in his sight. God has assigned to each of us a measure of faith, and we have to use that measure to run our prospective races. That we have to use the measure that he has given us to run the race that he has called us to run. Everybody got a measure. Hallelujah. And your measure may not be my measure, but we all have a measure that works for us. Hallelujah. You know, if you were to pour someone, if I were to ask everybody here today, would you like a drink of water? And I begin to pour that water into your prospective cups, every cup won't have the same measure, no matter how hard I try. I may look up every now and then, get the ounces just right, but truth of the matter, you know, you just pour, you pour, you pour. You're going to have some that's going to be 8 ounces, some that's going to be 7.5, some going to be 7.6.55555555555555. You're going to have some that's going to be 6 ounces. You're going to have some 3 ounces. You just pour. So God has given us all a measure of faith, but watch. The measure he has given you will be enough to quench your thirst. It'll be enough just for you to run your race. He has given you just what you need for you to accomplish the assignment and the race that he has called you to. It gives you enough. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what God's will is. God's will is that we will run our individual races according to the way he has called us to run those. Hebrews chapter number 13, turn there if you would, verse number 5. God is calling us to be purged so we can run a race. Yes. Verse number 5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money. Oh, God. It's not money that's evil. It's our love for it that's evil. Because watch this. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 says that money is the answer to all things. Hallelujah. So you need some money to answer some things. Hallelujah. So God is not against money. He's against your love for the money. Because whatever you love the greatest is what you'll worship and serve the greatest. Whew. And if you love money, then you're going to serve money. And money will become your master. If you love money, then you're going to do everything you got to do to get money. Get this money, man. I got to get this money, man. I talk to people all the time. You know, they got these new jobs and they making money. I said, man, I hadn't seen you in a while. Man, Pastor, you know, I got to get this money. I got to get this money, man. I got to get this money while I can. I got to get this money. Yeah, but I hope in the midst of you getting that money that he don't come a-calling. Woo. And I hope that love for you getting this money don't overtake you to where now money becomes your God. Hallelujah. But we need some money. Somebody shout, I need some money. Yeah, we need some money in this world system, in this Babylonian system that we live in. you need some money. That's the system we live in. So now we appropriate kingdom principles inside of this Babylonian system. Why? For the kingdom of God's sake. So we take the money inside of this system and we now apply it to the kingdom. Oh, God. Yes, Lord. So that's why we live a kingdom lifestyle. We say, God, okay, since I'm in this system, how can I benefit the kingdom inside of this system? What can I do to take all that I have acquired here in this earth realm to be a blessing to the kingdom? So keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said that he will never leave you nor forsake you. That God will never leave us. But watch this, because we're in this thing called flesh, we can leave God. Hallelujah. That God will never leave us, but we can leave God. You know, before having a full commitment to Christ, there have been plenty of times I left Jesus at the house. I left him, but he didn't leave me. Plenty of times I left him at the altar and walked away from a Sunday morning service and then, you know, going to a Sunday night party. Hallelujah. Amen. I left him, but he never left me. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So watch. We have intentionality. We have focus. But then there has to be training. Training. The action of teaching a particular skill or type of behavior. Got to be trained. Because every athlete has to be trained. So every saint has to be trained. The Bible gives it this connotation in one of the texts contextually. It says that, you know, we take like new believers that are like babes. And we got to be careful to that they are on milk. They're not ready for meat. So you got to train them first on the milk to get them ready for the meat. You don't take a newborn baby and you don't shove steak down his mouth. Hallelujah. I mean, unless you're from the country, you know, country people, boy, they feed babies early. Huh? Yeah, they feed babies early. Baby 6 weeks old, he eating grits. They'll tell you, look, my grandmother used to say, you feeding that baby yet? You need to put some cereal in that baby milk. You know, they start them early in the country. But there has to be training. Right? And if you don't train yourself properly, even as a newborn babe in Christ, you'll mess up your digestive system. Hallelujah. And we have messed up a lot of folks in the body of Christ because we have given them too much meat too early. So now their digestive system is messed up. So now when it comes down to them digesting the word of God because their system has been messed up, they don't know how to process it. So there got to be some training. Somebody shout, train me. Yeah, there's got to be some training. Got to be some training that takes place in our lives. I'm going to get y'all help here in a second because I told you I want you to be interactive on tonight. But there's got to be a purging because every serious runner has to discipline their body. Got to be a discipline. They got to train. And they have to be constant practice to discern how best to run our own individual races. That every runner has to be disciplined. I told you earlier, the devil comes to kill, steal, and so yeah, he'll distract you, and watch this, he'll detain you. So the devil comes to distract you and to detain you, hold you hostage in bondage. Hallelujah. So you got to be trained and equipped. So when the devil try to lay his hands on you to hold you back from running the race that God has for you to run, you got to be trained. You got to have some hand-to-hand combat training. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to learn how to lift your hands, holy hands, without wrath or doubt. Got to have some hand-to-hand combat. You got to have some word training, because the word is the sword. So you got to learn how to wield the sword. Got to be trained. The psalmist said, Lord, teach my hands to do war. Train my hands on how to do war. When an enemy comes to lay hands on me, give me some defense some defensive skills. That's what I want to say. Some techniques on how to keep the devil's hands off of me. Hallelujah. Teach my hands on how to do war. I need to be trained. Hebrews chapter number 5, it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. You know, some of y'all should be teaching right now. Hallelujah. We got too many students in the body of Christ. Now, you will always and forever be a learner. But at what point do you start now teaching that which you have learned? You know, there are those who are career students. They get a bachelor's. They go back and get a master's. They go back and get a double master's. They go get a master's in something else. They go and get a PhD, and then that ain't good enough. They go back and get another PhD. Then they go switch all up again and get a whole nother bachelor's. They're just career students. Hallelujah. I had a friend like that. He got a degree. He's one of my best friend's little brother. He has a PhD now. He going back to school. I'm like, man, how many degrees you need? How many? Just a career student forever learning. When do you start teaching that which you learn? So we got a lot of students in the body of Christ that refuse to teach. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. That we take things and we go back to the elementary stage. When we should be teaching, we now back on milk ourselves. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. The devil comes to distract you, to detain you, and watch this. The devil comes to detour you. Once he has you distracted, he'll get you to become stagnant to where you don't want to learn nothing else in the Word of God. You just be good with the elementary things, the surface level stuff, right? You stick with the logos and you forget the rhema. Just the elementary stuff. I just, you know, just stick with John 3:16. For God so loved the world. You got that already. And then when the Spirit of God comes to bring you deeper in the things of God, you don't want to deal with that. Oh, Pastor, you're preaching over my head. Stand up. Hallelujah. Y'all missed that. Hallelujah. Why are we dealing with that? You over my head. Stand up in it then. Just stand up. And we just want to deal with the surface level stuff. Just the milk. You know, watch this. You can have calcium deficiencies where you don't have enough calcium. But then if you have too much calcium, if you drink too much milk, you'll have calcium deposits in your body and your bones, and they'll begin to swell up inside of your joints and all of that. Cause pain and issues in your life because you got too much calcium. Hallelujah. So watch this. God will start you off on milk, but it comes a point where you got to get off the milk and get to meat. Because the devil comes to distract you, detain you, and to detour you, to get you off course. And how does he do that? How does the devil do that? How does the devil distract you, detain you, detour you? How does the devil do that? You know, each of us in our lives is like this little board. It's blank now, but as you live life, this blank board is no longer blank. It begins to fill up with all kind of stuff. If you would you grab those boxes and pass those out if you would? But just like everything. I ain't forget you, doctor. Amen. Take one of those out, pass it around. Amen. You take a box on. This is what happens. Watch what happens in your life. Take one, yeah. Look at that. What's that? So your board is clean now. You know when you come out. Mother's won't get a short stick. Amen. It still works. Amen. See if I can get y'all some long ones. You got some long ones? Mine all broke up. Pass them out. I got a defective box. Oh, you know, I got some color ones. How about that? You got some color. Add some color to this thing. Everybody got one? You got one, Nick? All right. Everybody got one? Now this is what the devil does. I want you to kind of just think about in your own personal life. It could be present or it could be past. What was one thing that had you bound that the devil used as a distraction in your life? I want you to write that one thing down on that board. That one thing on that board. It could be past or it could be present. Past or even present. That you notice that the enemy used that one tactic in your life. That one thing. You still writing? You still thinking? Don't think too long. One thing. Somebody got their one thing? That one thing? Well, watch this. The Bible says that one put 1,000 to flight. Two put how many? So you by yourself, you're able to handle 1,000. One put 1,000 to flight. So there are a lot of trials and tribulations and issues that come into your life, a lot of things that you would deal with in life, and you can deal with 1,000 by yourself. But it's not the 1,000 that you have an issue with. It's the 1,001. Y'all quiet. It is not the thousands of trials and tribulations it's not the thousands of devils that will come and trip you up and prevent you from moving forward in the things of God. It is 1,001 that gets you. That's why you need a second person so that now you can handle 10,000. But it's not the thousands of things that get you. It's the one. Somebody shout the one thing. It is the one thing that'll trip you up. It is the one bullet in the chamber while you're playing Russian roulette that'll take your life out. It is the one time you slip up and you do something that you knew you shouldn't be doing. It is the one thing that'll get you. The one thing. The devil throws a lot of things at you, but he's just looking to catch you with one thing. What's the one thing in your life, that one thing? For the longest in my life, it was fear for me. Fear. For the longest, fear kept me in bondage. Fear. Fear. What's the one thing in your life? What's the one thing in your life? Let me see that one thing. One thing. Just flip it over. That one thing. Let me put my glasses on. Lord, some of y'all roll so small. Lord Jesus. One thing. Don't move it now. Tongue, your mouth, family issues, rejection, fear, anger. Past pain, Lord Jesus. My dad, business, job/business, and look at you. Alcohol, doubt. Mother, you got something? Just shout it out, mother. Nothing? No? Okay. Watch this. Those one thing. The devil just take that one thing. And though it's small, he just put that one thing. Just that one thing. That one thing. And for the sake of the illustration, I grabbed the Pampers because you know what happens with Pampers? Is that as it begins to take on liquid, it swells up. It swells up. It takes on weight. But not only does it take on weight, but it takes up space. So that one thing in your life, it comes in your life, it comes small. But as it takes on liquid, it swells up and it gets heavy. So now the devil comes, he don't bring just that one thing, but he starts adding to it. Because the longer you deal with it, the bigger it gets. Hallelujah. Just cram all that up in there. Just begins to weigh you down. Just all kind of stuff in there. Just get in there. That's how the devil just, he just come in your life and he just take over your life. Can't even get your life together. Can't, things that you used to handle, you can't handle no more. Things you used to manage, you can't manage no more. You used to have it all together. Now you can't even hold it together. You used to be at work and you should be at peace and all that. Now you find yourself all emotional, crying over everything. You just can't even handle it. You know, and sometimes you get a fix on it. And you got it all together, but it's just a masquerade. Because it looked good on the outside, but it's camouflaged. To everybody around you, it looked like you got it together, but it's all, you start working with it now. You start justifying the weight that you're carrying. You know, you even accessorize it. You know, camouflage is in now. So it becomes fashionable now. So you're just carrying that one thing around with you. And it looked good to everybody else, but it's weighing you down. It's weighing you down. That's what Paul said. We got to cut the weight. We got to cut the weight. That which is sin that so easily beset us or so easily trips us up. Because the more stuff you carry around, the more difficult it is to do the simple things in life. The more you carry around, the heavier it gets, the more difficult it is for you even to just walk the way you're supposed to walk. It starts messing up your walk with God because you make compensation for what you're carrying. Now watch this. I went to the chiropractor because I hurt my back years ago, and the chiropractor told me, you know, I don't carry a big wallet. I used to carry this big old wallet with all kind of credit cards in. All of them was to the limit. You know, but it looked good when you open it up and you got all them cards. You know, you go to the cabinet, pick one, take one, anyone, you know. But it looked good. So, but I reduced down to this small little wallet. And a chiropractor told me, said, because I used to wear my back pocket, she said, don't carry a wallet anymore. I'm like, why not? She said, because when you sit down, even with that little small wallet, it misaligns your spine. The little small one. And then my wife, she went to the chiropractor, and she had this big old purse. You know how you women like these big old purses, you know? You carry all that stuff in. She said, don't carry a purse no more. She said, why? I said, I like my purses. She said, because now you got to overcompensate because the purse is so heavy, it misaligns your body. So now instead of you walking uprightly the way you're supposed to, now you overcompensate. So now because this is so heavy, your body gets accustomed to carrying heavy stuff. So now you end up walking, even when you're not carrying nothing, like you're carrying something. Boy, I'm preaching good right now. So even after you have done cut the weight, because your body is misaligned, because you've been carrying it too long, now you still look like what you was going through. Woo. And instead of you walking in your freedom and your deliverance, you still look like the old you. You're still carrying some of the residue. And even though you done cut the weight and you done left it where it was, you still got some residue. Your body has now, watch this, physical therapists call it muscle memory because you have trained your muscles to be able to carry the weight. Your muscles now remember the weight you carry. So some of us are carrying some past hurts and pains from some other places, and your muscles are reacting to the past pain. So now your muscle memory goes back to carrying that old weight. So now you start acting out what you used to carry. And Christ come to set you free. But not just set you free from the bondage. Because remember, the devil comes to detain you. But he comes to set you free so that even the look, the smell, the taste of it all will be moved, that you'll be washed and cleansed with hyssop, that you'll be purged whiter than snow, so that just like this boy, that no matter what that one thing was, no matter what that one thing is, no matter what that one thing used to be, Christ in the blood of Jesus come to purge us and to wash us white as snow. So not even the glimpse of what we went through, not even what we used to carry, will have effect on our lives anymore. That now, watch this, every crooked place he now makes straight in your life. Everything that went awry, everything that was out of place, everything that was off center, he comes and he straightens up and gives you a whole nother blank slate. Purged. So no longer to hold you in hostage and bondage anymore. That now you can run this race with intentionality. That God, every day you wake up, you say, God, for you I live. God, for you I die. Every day I'm intentional about my life. Why? Because you gave me a clean slate. And all of that weight I used to carry, matter of fact, because I'm intentional about the way I live, I don't want to just want my life to be camouflaged anymore. I'm going to go ahead and expose it myself. I'm going to go ahead and put the trash out myself. You know when you take the trash out at your house? You know, you set it at the curb, everybody see your trash. Amen. Come on. And then God forbid you have some nosy neighbors, because sometimes you have some dumpster divers. And you'll try to hide your stuff and carry it up, but they'll go in there and unearth your stuff. But it's best you just put it out there for them to see. And so, nah, I just put it out there. That's what I used to deal with. But I don't deal with it anymore. That's who I used to be. But that's not who I am anymore. Yeah, I made some mistakes. I tripped up over some things, but that's who I used to be. I'm trained enough now, I'm skilled enough now that this won't trip me up no more. So every time something like that come in my way, so every time the devil try to trip me up and he throws it in front of me, I just step right on over because I'm trained now. I'm not distracted by this stuff anymore. I'm running my race, and when I see that, I just go on around it. Because I've been trained. I'm focused now on the prize and the mark. I'm trying to cross the finish line. I'm not trying to get disqualified in this thing. I'm going to run my race. Why? He has equipped me. He has trained me. He has got me into a place where now these light afflictions and these distractions don't mean nothing. Hallelujah. So I just put it all out there. I just put it out there. Because watch this. It's the one thing that trips me up. But if the one thing comes about, then I got my brothers and sisters, because one put 1,000 to flight, but two put 10,000. So when the enemy comes and he throws all kind of stuff, and even that one thing gets in my way, I got my brother and my sister that can help me. So when I'm too tired now to get over, they can push me out the way, or they can kick it out the way. Your shoe and everything. Keep your shoes on, girl. So the things that I can't see, that jumps in the way. You gonna get that one too? I can't see that one. Because it's not the one thing. It's not the thousands. It's the one thing. But when the devil throws tens of thousands, then I got my brother or my sister to help me with the tens of thousands. So that's why we gotta be solid in the faith. And we cannot, watch this, we cannot forsake the assembly of the believers. Why? Because there's some things the devil gonna throw at you just can't handle. There's some things coming your way that you just can't handle, and you're trying to handle it by yourself. It's the 1001 that gets you. It's the one thing with accountability. You say, hey, listen, you know, Tiffany, I noticed, you know, you hadn't been praying as much as you. What's going on? Your prayer life, just, you know, you used to pray with some fervency and some zeal, but now, you know, your prayers are kind of lukewarm now. Is anything happening right now? I mean, you know. I noticed how, you know, you used to be committed and faithful, but all of a sudden I didn't see you. What? Are you okay? Are you all right? It's that 1001 that gets you. And if you ain't got that brother or sister with you, then you'll be lost. And the enemy will suck you into the darkness of the abyss, and you'll be sitting around there talking about what happened. What happened? I used to be faithful in church. I used to pray and be committed. What happened? I used to love God. I still love God with all my heart. What happened? 1001 got you. You were carrying around all that weight, looking all good in front of everybody. But you never looked to the one that can make you good.
My God, my God.
You look good in the mirror. You look good in the public courts of men's opinion. Woof. But it's in that private place. It's in that place where just you and God. It's in that perfect place where light shines brightly and evenly across the globe. It's that place where God's glory radiates and there's no diminishing in his glory. It's equal across every place. It's in that place that the imperfections of your life is identified by only God. That God points to that one thing, and it'd be just a little speck. I posted on Facebook today. It only takes a drop to contaminate. It only takes a drop to contaminate. And you'll be standing before God with your camouflage bag, and God says, I see you got it all made up, but I see that too. You're pretty today. You're all made up, but I see that right there. Don't you know he knows the very intents of your heart? Jesus is sitting at the table with a bunch of Pharisees. The woman comes in who is a prostitute, and she begins to lavish her love on Jesus. And the Pharisees thought in his head, I thought he was a prophet. If only he knew who was touching him. He just thought it. It was this woman was lavishing her love on Jesus, this beautiful display of affection for her Savior. And this fool, man, if he was a prophet, he should have known who's touching her. He just started. And the Bible says Jesus hearing his thoughts. You know, God knows your thoughts and the intents of your heart. Wait. He knows the intent of your heart. Watch. Something you're intending, not something you have already done. Not something you have already orchestrated and manufactured a plan, a plot, or a scheme to do. The intent. It hadn't even fully dropped in your heart yet. And God says, I know it. You hadn't even fully thought it out. God says, I already know it. I know the intent of your heart. God knows. So we can be all camouflaged up. But that one thing is the thing God wants to deal with in your life. It's that one thing. It's that one thing that'll trip you up. And God forbid that one thing prevent you from getting into heaven. Don't let the one thing. Don't let the one thing be the one thing that prevent you from experiencing the eternal weight of glory in God's presence. The one thing. The one thing. The one thought. The one action. The one deed. The one thing. The one misstep. The one misstumble. The one thing. One thing. But God's grace and his mercy, that he loves us enough that when that one thing comes, there's safety in the multitude That when that one thing pushes us over the limit, over the edge, there's safety in the multitude. That God will send people to galvanize and to wrap around you and to help you endure that one thing. So many people run from church because they have stumbled over the one thing when they should be running to the church so that they can get in the safety of the multitude to help them over the one thing. Tonight, God wants to purge that one thing out of your life. Whether it's past, present, or in a future thing ahead, God wants to make sure that you're intentional in running this race so that you can be focused. So when this thing comes, you'll be focused to know which way the devil is coming, that he won't trip you up again. So tonight is training ground. He wants to train you so you'll be disciplined enough to see which area the devil is attacking in your life. You're wondering why you keep going around the same cycle, same mountain? You wondering why you hadn't gotten your breakthrough yet? Because you hadn't been intentional enough to be focused, or you hadn't committed yourself to training. Every person running needs a trainer. Amen. Amen. Everybody needs a coach. Yep. And we haven't submitted ourselves to the training of the Lord. Hadn't submitted ourselves to the people that God has brought into our lives to help us be more disciplined for our own life's sake. Hallelujah. God wants to deal with that one thing tonight. I don't care if you're watching by Facebook, online, wherever you're watching. God wants to deal with that one thing tonight in your life. That one thing that nobody else knows but you and God. That one thing that nobody else sees. And sometimes, watch this, you may not even see, but God sees it. Because it's been camouflaged so well that you even forgot it was there. It's like a dog burying his bone and forgetting which hole he put it in. So he digging up the whole yard. And that's how we are with that one thing. We have buried it so deep in the recesses of our minds that we forgot it's even there. But God knows. And I believe that he gave me this word for you tonight because he wants to dig up that stockpile of skeleton bones that we have camouflaged so well. Would you bow your heads on tonight? God wants to deal with that one thing in our lives. And watch this, the greatest thing that we possibly can have hidden from ourselves and others, but not from God, is the pride. The pride of saying, you know what? You know, we've been dealing with this thing. I've been to the altar. I came to the altar Sunday. And all that pride. Pride. I've been saved long enough. I'm no longer on milk. I'm on meat, Pastor. Come on, Apostle. This ain't for me. Pride. It ain't for me. Yeah, it's for you too. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. And he wants to deal with that one thing. He knows the very intents of our hearts. He knows a thing before we even do a thing. He knows the frustrations that we have. He knows that when we're anxious, the Bible says be anxious for nothing, but yet we're anxious. Level of anxiety that comes upon us so great. Anxiety just simply says that, God, I don't really know if you can do this thing. Taking pills for anxiety. Really, it's just saying, God, I don't know. This thing is so big, so great before me. I don't know if you can do it. Anxiousness points to our trust and our belief in God, whether he can do it or not. That's you tonight. God is pricking your heart. He's touching your heart tonight by way of Facebook. If that's you tonight, we got people who are monitoring the Facebook page. Just go ahead and put, that's me. Pray for me tonight. Pray for me. If you're in need of prayer tonight, I want you to just simply put your hand in the air. That's you. You purging some things. You're cutting the weight. I see you. Cutting the weight. I see you. I'm cutting the weight. I'm cutting the weight tonight. I'm cutting the weight. I'm cutting the weight. I see you. My hand is lifted as well, as you notice. I'm not prompting you. This is my hand lifted. God, I'm cutting some weight tonight. cutting some weight tonight. I'm at the altar as well, God. I'm cutting some weight. Purge me. That's you tonight. Lift your hand. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. I believe there's others tonight that have some weight that they need to cut. Don't go out here carrying that weight. It's like the pamper. It's going to swell up on you. And it's going to start to weigh you down. Don't leave out here carrying that. And if you have it camouflaged so well, uncover it tonight. That's you. That's you. Lift your hand. Thank you, Father. Can we all stand to our feet on tonight? Thank you, Father. We're being purged in this place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You paid the price. You spilt your blood for a purging that we can be washed and cleansed so that we can stand before you without spot, wrinkle, nor blemish. Purge us tonight, Father. So, Father, now in the name of Jesus, for everyone that have lifted their hands, I thank you, O God, that you have paid the price. And by your sovereignty, your grace, and your mercy, God, you saw it before we even knew it. And you, Father, before the foundation of the earth was laid, you had already put a plan in motion, God. A plan, God, that would pay the price. We thank you for the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice of which he has made so that we can walk in the newness of life in him. That we have been purged and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' mighty name we do pray. We give you the glory, God. Make this your confession tonight. Would you say tonight, Father, I stand before you as a vessel that needs to be purged. Wash me, cleanse me, and renew me that I may be whiter than snow and I may be used for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Any issues with that, feel free to call me. Most of you have my phone number. Call me. If you have run into some issues with that, let me know. And we'll try to make some accommodations as much as possible. But make sure you inform us before it's too late. Amen? Amen. Amen. Y'all quiet. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Bless the Lord.
Glory. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to close out in prayer. Amen. Get you guys out of here. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you again, God, for the purging process. And Father, there are things that will come in our lives. We thank you, Father, for spiritual discernment, wherewithal, and fortitude, God, to know of the enemy's tactics, his schemes, and his plans to pull us, to distract us, to detain us, and to detour us. So, Father, we thank you for wisdom. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that gives us eyes to see the unseen. And, Father, we thank you now as we walk out our lives, God, that we're cutting the weight, we're purging, God, everything, Father, that will hinder us from running the race of which you have plotted out before us. Father, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for all of these great and mighty things. Bless your people as they depart from this place, God. A hedge of protection about them, God. Let provision be made for their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, hallelujah. Slap high five with your neighbor and say, I've been purged. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We're going to see you guys on Sunday. For those of you coming out on Thursday on the levee, we'll see you then. Amen.